underwriting support for the Book Show podcast on WAMC.org comes from Northshire Bookstore, Manchester Center, Vermont, and Saratoga Springs, New York. An independent bookstore offering books, author events, gifts for children and adults, and more. Northshire.com. And from the College of St. Rose, Albany, New York, offering a new Bachelor of Science degree in Public Health with a focus on social, physical, and behavioral sciences. strose.edu.
Welcome to The Book Show, a celebration of reading and writers. I'm Joe Donahue. Elizabeth Strout's best-selling novels have illuminated our most tender relationships. Now, in My Name is Lucy Barton, Strout shows how a simple hospital visit becomes a portal to the most tender relationship of all, the one between mother and daughter. Strout is the Pulitzer Prize-winning author of Olive Kitteridge, as well as The Burgess Boys, a New York Times bestseller, Abide With Me, a national bestseller and BookSense pick, and Amy and Isabel, which won the Los Angeles Times Art Seidenbaum Award for First Fiction and the Chicago Tribune Hartland Prize. It is a great pleasure to welcome Elizabeth Strout to this week's book show. Thank you very much for being with us. It's always a delight to speak with you.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be here. Thanks a lot.
The new novel is My Name is Lucy Barton. As I mentioned in the introduction, this takes place mostly in a hospital. Did you know that going in that you would be in a hospital for so long?
I did not know that going in. I sketched, and by sketch I mean that I wrote a few drafts of little scenes and moved them around on the table a lot, and I was writing different things at the same time. And these little tiny sketches of Lucy in a hospital bed with her mother kept showing back up. And so I know from experience when I keep picking up a piece of paper that I've scribbled something on that maybe I need to look at it more carefully. And so it unfolded from there.
In that unfolding, did you know who Lucy would be, her occupation, what she would be like, and ultimately what she would have in common with you, what she would have in common with her mother?
Again, you know, it was always a discovery. It always is a process of discovery. And it wasn't until I was, maybe even halfway through the construction of the book. I don't write anything from beginning to end, but I, you know, continue to make these, you know, messes, these sketches around the table. But probably about halfway through trying to put the book together, I realized, maybe Lucy will be a writer. And that was very interesting for me, and it was a little daunting. I wasn't sure I wanted to write about a writer, but she is. There we go.
What is it about her being a writer that was daunting to you?
Well, I'm a writer, and I don't honestly think writers are necessarily that interesting. I mean, in terms of dramatic stuff on the page, let's just say that, you know. So it seemed a little bit of a soft thing to have her be. But when she's sitting in the schoolroom, she comes from that very rural, poor background. And when she stays after school to be warm, she begins to read. And I looked and I had written that that the books brought her things. They brought her life and they made her feel less alone. And when I saw that I'd written that, I thought, oh, I see. Okay, Lucy, you're going to have to be a writer.
Because there is that core of loneliness. We should note that Lucy is in the hospital for an extended period of time as the result of complications from an appendectomy.
Right. Nobody ever figures out what went wrong, but she is there for quite a while.
And you ultimately, as the reader, we know that she's going to make it because so the way it's written, we know that she's mm-hmm. she's going to be okay. Mm-hmm. When it comes to the mother-daughter relationship, is that something that you've always wanted to explore, either with your own relationship with your mother or just in general?
I've always been interested in mother-daughter relationships. I mean, my first book, Amy and Isabel, was primarily mother and daughter. It was a very different mother and a very different daughter. But I'm interested in that relationship, and I think probably because it's so primal. It's our first vision of the world in many ways, for most of us. And for a novelist, that's always, you know, filled with stuff. we can endlessly go into that kind of relationship in many ways.
When this particular mother arrives at the bedside of Lucy, how accessible was she to you?
Right. She actually was pretty accessible, and I don't know who I was drawing upon or what compilation of different people, but she became herself very quickly in a way, and that was sort of fun to have her be there and be herself.
How do you characterize the relationship that these two had prior to her showing up at the hospital?
Well, Lucy, she's very different from her mother, and her mother knows that, and Lucy knows that. And they haven't seen each other for a number of years because Lucy left her very, very rural, poor background. She just was able to get away. And so she's not seen her mother for a number of years, but the mother shows up because I felt that these two people loved each other. That was my understanding of their relationship. They loved each other. They can't really say that directly. They can't talk about themselves in any forthright manner. And so they gossip about different people from the hometown. But through that gossip, you know, there's a subtext always going on. And that was interesting to me.
And in that subtext, is there awareness on both the characters' parts as to what is going on, of what is being accomplished through the extended conversation?
Yes. They stay away from particular parts of Lucy's childhood, and they get close to it at times, and Lucy will veer away, and then her mother will veer away. And so there's that sort of back and forth of acknowledging what they're not saying, I think.
The setting of the book, bring us to why you wanted to set it where you set it and the background of this particular character, Lucy's background.
Right. Well, my husband and I were driving around the Midwest a few years ago, and I've been out there before, but I was so struck with it. I was so enchanted by it, and I thought, wow, okay, here's a huge amount of sky, and we were in Illinois, and there's a little house there, and there's another little house there, and I really began to think, wait, you know, Lucy could come from this background. It just seemed, you know, place is very important in literature, and it seemed to me that this is where Lucy would come from, and she would start out as a very poor person and end up crossing class lines, which is always interesting to me, class. She would cross class lines and end up arguably an upper-middle-class woman in New York City. So that's her story. And the mother, of course, stays behind.
This is rural Illinois.
Yes, yes.
You grew up in New England. You grew up in New Hampshire. Is there a similarity? Is there a small-town similarity?
I think there's a small-town similarity, probably, yes. And I also grew up in a small town in Maine as well. But that place is very different. There's you know, the trees, the water, the craggy rocks. It's a different sort of place, very, very different. And I think somehow the people reflect that. And yet Lucy is probably... she could have been a relative of mine in the way that, like Lucy's mother says to her, don't ever forget we were the first people here. We were settlers. Your ancestors came to Provincetown, Massachusetts, and the really brave ones came out and settled the Midwest. So my ancestors stayed on the East Coast, but, you know, Lucy could have been one of those people who went out and settled the Midwest.
Elizabeth Strout is our guest on this week's book show. The name of the new novel is My Name is Lucy Barton. It is published by Random House. In the discussion and the conversation that these two women have, how much do you think about, because you mentioned that this developed through scraps of paper that you assemble. You get that sense in reading the novel because they're very short sections at times.
Mm-hmm.
And does that make it easier or harder?
Well, that's a good question. I think that it made it different. This was a different kind of book for me to write. I don't know if it was easier, and I don't know if it was harder. It was its own thing, and I really it came from Lucy's voice. It is written in the first person. It's the only book I've written in the first person, and that came from Lucy's voice. So as I was assembling or moving these different pieces of paper round and around and around, I was always listening for that tone of Lucy's voice. Because that's the way the story will get to the reader.
Toward the end of the novel, there is a page, and on that page there are three lines. The rage of my girls during those years, there are moments I try to forget, but I will never forget. I worry about what it is they will never forget. So is that something that makes it to a scrap of paper that is linear in fashion, that it comes toward the end of the writing process, or has been around for a long time and just finds its place at that particular moment in the novel?
You know, I honestly think that particular scrap of paper, I think that was written toward the end, but it could easily have not been. I often, you know, the very last page of Olive Kittredge I wrote way before I had finished that book. And I wrote the end of that, the very last page, and I put it aside. And then I found it as I earned my way toward it. So, but that particular passage that you just referred to about the rage, I think that came as I was putting it together toward the end there.
And really, as you said, it could wind up anywhere because there's mm-hmm. a universal aspect to it, as there is to many of the passages in the novel.
Right.
Does that give you a certain freedom?
I think it does. Yes. When I sit down to work every day, when I produce these scraps of piece of paper, I always try and write what feels most urgent to me at that moment. And I'll transpose it onto a character or do something. But there has to be some urgency in what I'm trying to get down. And otherwise, it would just be dead writing, and I don't want that. I want the work to always have that sense of living to it. And so if I do that enough and I continue to, you know, go to work that way, then I find that they do eventually find their way. I'm never very concerned about plot because it seems to take care of itself.
When you say take care of itself, is there a point where you say, well, there's a point where I should write about a nurse? You have a nurse Cookie in the novel. So is there a point where you say, I need that? So then it is more direct, I need to write that.
No, I don't ever think I need to write anything. That would be a bad sign for me to think, well, I need to do this. But I will have written Cookie because Lucy's in a hospital, and so there will be these nurses. And then, but there does reach a point where I think to myself, okay, now I really do have to make sense of this. I really do have to start with the beginning, and I have to move through it, and I have to end it. And that, you know, that's a very real thing. I have to do
sure.
that. And so I do eventually do that.
And that is when you worry about plot, because it makes up the plot.
Yes, at that point. But a lot of things will be in place in some sort of way, so...
Is it difficult to direct emotion, especially when it's dealing with a relationship such as a mother-daughter relationship?
Direct emotion, you mean to the reader?
Yes.
Well, again, if I feel that I've written something truthful to the piece, then I think that, and I hope that that's what will happen, that the emotion will be conveyed from going to the page with that sense of urgency.
Do you ever want us taking sides?
Well, that's a great question. Yes, by all means, take any side you want. And everybody, you know, will bring their own story to whatever they read. I think this book is a little more porous in some ways than my other stories. And so they'll especially bring their own story to it. And they should, because that's then it becomes their book. So I have no problem with people taking sides at all. I don't take sides myself as I write, but I have no problem with people taking sides. Sure, go for it.
But you want to be true to both characters, and as you yes. say, portray yes. them as honestly as you can.
Yes, exactly. They are people. They're wounded. Most of us are on some level wounded, and I just want to get them down as truthfully as I can, and then they can belong to the reader.
Elizabeth Strout is our guest on this week's book show. She is the Pulitzer Prize-winning author of Olive Kitteridge and The Burgess Boys. The name of the new novel is My Name is Lucy Barton. You mentioned Olive Kitteridge. That is a novel that has obviously taken on a life through a HBO miniseries and has been rediscovered by many. And I'm curious as to what it is like for you to talk once again about a book that you've written several years ago.
Well, Olive remains pretty real to me. She showed up pretty real, and she remains pretty real. So I know the book was written a number of years ago, and yet it doesn't really feel that way to me. So she's still quite vivid in my mind.
When you think about how it has now touched people, and through both the reading of the book and through the miniseries, mm-hmm. do you think about it in a different way? Do you explore it, or is that not productive?
Well, it's awfully interesting to be on the road and to hear people's responses to Olive, and that's it's just very, very interesting to me, because I spend so much time alone, of course, you know, creating these people, and then to be out and about and hearing different reactions is really, really interesting to me. And they're very varied, the responses to Olive as a character. But I don't think it makes me reconsider her too much myself. I'm just interested in what people think of her. It's really something.
There's a line in the new novel that says, "This is not the story of my marriage. I have said that I cannot write the story of my marriage." Was that something that you at all wanted to explore with this character?
I realized at some point in this whole process that this really was about Lucy, and it was primarily about her relationship with her mother. And it was about Lucy and crossing class lines and how that felt to be Lucy. And so I realized that, you know, Lucy is married, and I realized, wait a minute, let me just put it right out there. Let me just say, this is not the story of my marriage. So I had Lucy tell the reader that, you know, rather early on, so the reader can know.
You mentioned when you were talking about Olive Kitteridge that you had the ending, and then you came to that and discovered it. Was it similar for this novel, or did the ending come at the end?
The ending came not quite at the end, but pretty close to the end this time, yeah.
Because you knew where you wanted it to ultimately end up and to go.
Right, exactly. And the last paragraph, it wasn't the last thing I wrote, but I did understand as I wrote it, okay, this will be the last paragraph, and it was pretty much done at that point.
Is there something about having this character chained down, in essence, of being in one place, of being in a hospital bed?
Well, it was a, you know, I didn't consciously think of it as a device, but it is a device, and I hope it worked, because she can't go anywhere. She's there, and her mother's there, and the mother's staying right there at the end of the bed for 5 days, and so everything had to happen between them, you see, because nothing else was going to happen at those particular moments. And so it allowed me to really zero in on their relationship.
This is a character, Lucy, who you write about in the book, who grows up in a home without a TV, without movies or radio or the things that often entertain us. There were magazines and newspapers. And you grew up in a similar environment.
No, Lucy grew up in a very, very poor environment. And I grew up, you know, my parents were both college professors, and we did have a radio. We didn't have a TV. My parents didn't want a TV, and so we didn't have a television. But we had a radio. We did have the news coming into our house. We had the New Yorker. We had my father's science magazines. And Lucy's got her own particular situation, which is pretty specific to Lucy.
Did you think about that when you're writing of what it is for a character not to have the television, of not having that influence, or is it different because of the economic circumstances?
I think it was different with Lucy. That was just a part of her situation. I was really very interested in the rural poor, and there was a boy in my third grade classroom who was like Lucy. I mean, he was from such a poor family that the family could not become part of the community. And I remember that teacher saying to him, "You have dirt behind your ears. Nobody is too poor to buy a bar of soap." And that poor child, he turned beet red, and he had no friends. And I've always remembered that. And I think that in some ways that this book about Lucy was an homage to him and to all those people out there that grow up in that way.
And when you think of the relationship, you're able to not only give Lucy a voice and some context, but of course, even the character is figuring things out within the discussions with her mother.
Right, of course. Yes, exactly. Lucy's, you know, her mind is working and she's remembering, and then she will speak to the reader, you know, sort of as an aside. And fill the reader in on different parts of her background.
Did you want forgiveness, or did you want moments of forgiveness, or just understanding?
Well, that's a good question. I guess moments of understanding. But I mean, you know, they say to know all is to forgive all. So I suppose I would go with that as well. I think, you know, if I can present people in their wholeness, I mean, who they truly are and why, to some extent, we can know why they're like they are. Lucy's father has been very damaged by World War II, and that's his story. Then I think that we can understand and hopefully not be as judgmental.
Is it ever difficult for you not to be judgmental on the characters?
Well, in real life, I'm sure that I'm as judgmental as the next person. but when I write, I one of the things that I love about writing is that I really love my characters. I love all my characters. And so I just go to the page and let them do what they need to do. And that's freeing. It's just a really freeing and wonderful thing to be able to do.
In the freedom and in those scraps that are not a part of this novel, will they always stay around? Will they always be a part of something, or perhaps in the running for something, or are they then put away and the process starts from scratch the next time?
They're pretty much thrown away. They're tossed. They're gone. So I always start again.
So there is a reset button.
Oh boy, yes. There's a lot of paper that's left on the floor. Yeah.
Because there are some novelists who keep everything and then look at it and say, "Oh, well, I could use this scene now. This is something I wrote 12 years ago, but I could use it here."
No, no, no. If it's not going to make it into the book, it's gone. Bye.
And does that, do you ever have, because I would think I would have this, where you would say, "Oh, this is something I was going to, I would like to get to, I wrote about this once, I wish I still had it."
You know, that doesn't usually happen. No, I don't think that happens. I pretty much live right in the present with the work that I'm doing at the moment. And, you know, I've learned to cut things from many years of experience. And, you know, sometimes I'll cut things that I like, but I'll cut them because they don't belong there and they're just gone. So I don't worry about that too much once it's gone.
The name of the new novel is My Name is Lucy Barton. It is published by Random House. Elizabeth Strout, a great pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you very much for being with us. A delight to have you.
Oh, thank you. It was wonderful. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much. Again, Elizabeth Strout's new novel is My Name is Lucy Barton. It is published by Random House. We enjoy hearing from our listeners about the show. You can email us at book@wamc.org, and you can listen again to this or find past book shows at wamc.org. Sarah LaDuke produces our program. Bookmark us for next week, and thanks for listening for The Book Show. I'm Joe Donahue.